morning, everyone.
Trust that you had a good week, that you've known the goodness of God. You've been mindful of His presence and encouraged with His goodness. We come this morning to rejoice and to glory in Him. And all of that is ours through Christ. Really, for the believer, this time of the week is the high point because it is the beginning of a new week. We come together from a week in which we've known the goodness of God, and we look forward to a week in which God will continue to be faithful. And this is really kind of the crest of the wave in that whole process. And so this is a particularly special time for us as believers. It's our privilege to participate as a church family in the lives and ministries of several missionaries. And it's our privilege this morning to have Daniel and Aubrey Stent with us. I just met Daniel earlier. I haven't even met Aubrey yet, but we've known their parents, Rodney Stent and his wife, longtime workers with Village Missions, and we've enjoyed visiting with them, hearing about their experiences in Pakistan and their heart for that work. And we are privileged to have Daniel and Aubrey with us this morning, and I'm going to ask Daniel if he'll come and share with us an update on the work that God's called them to.
Good morning. I'm going to come down here so I can see up there. Is there something up there? Anyway, I'm Daniel, my wife Aubrey, and our four-year-old daughter Hannah. And we just have little baby Elias, who was born a few months ago. And that is why we are here now, because normally we would still be overseas, but we decided that for the health of our baby and Aubrey, it would be better if we came to America to have him. So we've been here now a few months. We are now, got all his passports, paperwork. We are waiting on visas to go back. They could come today, they could come next week, they could come next month. We don't know. Kind of living on the edge. So as soon as we get our visas, we'll head back to Afghanistan. So I just wanted to show you a few pictures, because some of you might not know what we do. And we have been in Afghanistan for about 5 years now. We've been your missionaries there. And if I can show you the next picture. Whoop, go back one. Too fast. Can you go back one? That's okay. We teach English to adults. And you can see we're very serious people. We take it very seriously. We try and have fun. So Aubrey teaches women in the afternoon. I teach several classes in the morning. We have more students than we know what to do with. They're pounding on the door saying, please teach us, please teach us. And so, unfortunately, we have to turn people away. But if any of you want a future in teaching, want eager students, please come talk to me. We'll be glad to have you. Can I see the next picture? Is it working? Okay, well, that's all right. Oh, some of the highlights from this last year. We've been away about a year and a bit. We had our 10-year anniversary party, and so that was very exciting of our school. 10 years of all the craziness happening in Afghanistan, 10 years of teachers constantly teaching adults English. Our students come to us, and we get to have them for 5 hours a week, months and months, and sometimes years at a time. We really get to know them well, so it's a great ministry. So we can go forward a couple of pictures. That's what being a teacher is about. You have to improvise. Another highlight, besides our 10-year anniversary party, was we had an intern come this last summer. And she taught some ladies for a while. And it was really encouraging to have someone from university in Colombia come. On her first day, we greeted her with gunfire and fighting. And it was okay. She rolled with it, and she had a great time. She said, I would love to come back. And so we're also very excited to have interns coming to be part of our work there. Another highlight this last year was Hannah went to preschool. She went to a preschool where she was the only foreigner, and it was all in Persian, the language. And she went in there, and she had a rough time at first, and then she got to make lots of friends, and it made a big difference in our community. Before, some of the children would kind of make fun of us as being foreigners, but now they see us and they say, oh, you're Hannah's parents. Let's go talk to you. Let's be your friends. Hey, those are Hannah's parents. We know her. She's in our school. That was very encouraging to have Hannah go to preschool and to get more deeper into the community there. Well, this summer has been a little hard for us. We've been back in America. We've been wishing we could be in Afghanistan. But unfortunately, if you've been paying attention to the news, it's been pretty tumultuous over there right now. And just after we left to come here to have baby Eli, our community center in the capital city, not where we work, but in another city, was attacked by Taliban. And they came in with their bombs and their suicide bombers, and they were determined to kill as many of our coworkers as possible. But God superimposed his will in that situation, and he saved our coworkers, and they were not able to find them in the building. And eventually the special forces destroyed the Taliban who came to attack. But that's been very hard for our fellow missionaries to have their home base, their community center, be attacked. And we don't know why God does what he does, but 2 weeks ago, these two single ladies from Finland who work in another city, a different city, they were killed by the Taliban. And they've been working in Afghanistan for many years. They love the people. And so it's been very hard. Sometimes God saves us. Sometimes he takes us home. So we really covet your prayers. We're excited to go back, which seems crazy. But God gave us the word and a verse last night to share with you. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1 says, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart." In my mind, all this craziness, all this turmoil, is Satan's attempt, desperate attempt, to keep his stranglehold on the people of Afghanistan that he's had for century after century after century. But we've been promised by God that the kingdom of heaven cannot be defeated by Satan. And so we look forward to seeing, what does all this mean? All this turmoil, all this fighting, all this violence. What great strides will happen to the church in Afghanistan in the next few years? So please be praying for us. Pray that our visas will come soon, that we can go back, dive back into the work. And please don't forget us over there. We have a newsletter sign up. If you address change or if you're not getting our newsletters, please sign up. Also, we have a new prayer card with baby Eli in it. So if you want to grab that for your fridge, please do so afterwards. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daniel. And it's Afghanistan, it's not Pakistan. So my apologies. So let's certainly take the opportunity to visit with the Stints while they're here with us this morning. And certainly we want to keep them before the Lord as he brings them to mind. And to pray for wisdom and encouragement each day. I think sometimes we think that when God calls someone to the mission field, that they are somehow super Christians that don't have a lot of the challenges and struggles that we ordinary Christians have. And we know that that's just not the case. And so we can pray for them as missionaries very much the way we would pray for ourselves or for one another here. We can pray that the Lord will encourage them daily through his word. We can pray that he will protect them from being distracted away from time in the word and time in prayer by all of the relentless demands of their ministry. And when you have students that have to be turned away because you don't have time to set up classes for them, you understand that that there is just a relentless demand on their time and in their energies. And that can erode the time they spend with the Lord, and that will have a detrimental effect on their lives personally and on their ministry. So we can pray that the Lord would encourage them in that way, and that as they come to his word, he would meet them, that in his goodness he would provide food for their souls, so that out of that they can then go into their assigned responsibilities and not only teach English, but teach English in a way that reflects the truth of Christ. And see some of those students come inquiring concerning the Lord Jesus. So thank you, Daniel and Aubrey. It's great to have you, and certainly be assured of our prayers for you. Before we come to God's Word this morning, I just want to make one more announcement, and that is that there's a family in the neighborhood behind us who lost a husband and a father this week, very quickly, died of a heart attack, I think either Thursday or Friday, and they've asked if they could host the memorial here next Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, and so we've agreed to do that, but in order to do that, we need some help. We need some volunteers who could be here just to greet the group and be here to help orient them, show them anything that they need. In particular, we need someone who could run the sound for us. And so I realize people are busy, but if there's any way that you could help out with that, that would be greatly appreciated. Just talk to me after the service this morning. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we come to His Word this morning. Gracious Father, thank You for Your rich blessing on our lives. We thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for Your perfect and abundant goodness that we have known in many ways in the week that's passed. We thank You for the freedom and the opportunity that we have to gather together in the name of Christ and to worship together, to lift our voices in praise to You, and together as one to sound forth the wonder and the beauty and the perfection of who You are, to rehearse once again the glorious truth of the gospel, that it is by Your grace that we've been saved, that we've been rescued from our rebellion and restored to relationship with Yourself. We thank You for the freedom we have to fellowship with one another and to gather around Your Word and to proclaim Your Word, to hear Your Word, and to be to grow in the faith. Father, all of these things are the rich blessing of Your goodness to us. So we would acknowledge that this morning, and we would thank You. We thank You for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one by whom all of these blessings are provided for us through the work of His cross. May He indeed be exalted as we lift Him up this morning. We thank You for the opportunity that we have to participate in the work that You are doing around the globe by way of support, financially and in prayer, those that You have called and moved out into the far reaches of the vineyard. We thank You for the opportunity to have Daniel and Aubrey and their family here this morning. And Father, we just commit them to You as they wait upon You for Your provision, as they anticipate returning to Afghanistan. Lord, the heart of the king is in Your hand, and You turn it whithersoever You will. And according to Your time and Your purpose, these visas will be provided that they might return to the work there. And I pray, Father, that as they return, that You would prepare the way for them. I pray that You would continue to refresh their hearts and renew them in strength as they go. I pray, Father, that You'll continue to teach them and grow them in preparation for what You have for them in the weeks and the months ahead. We pray, Father, that You would go before them as they take up their labor, and that You would prepare the hearts and lives of those that they are teaching, those that they're involved with, not only to learn the English language, but to see the truth of Christ as He's lived out in their lives. I pray that You would grant, by the grace of the work of Your Spirit, that the eyes of their hearts would be open to see the truth of Christ, and that Aubrey and Daniel would have opportunity to speak of Him. Father, we just pray that in Your wisdom and Your goodness, Your work will continue to be accomplished in and through the lives of the Stints and their co-workers there in Afghanistan. We pray for the Afghani church, that You will continue to strengthen them in and through the hardships that they are enduring. Father, we understand that the suffering that we encounter in this world is the instrument that You are using to refine the gold that is the faith of Your people in preparation for glory and honor and praise at Christ's appearing. I pray, Father, that You would grant Your people to have such a perspective so that they are not disheartened, but rather that they are encouraged and that they are steadfast in the truth. And Father, out of these tragedies that even that Daniel's referred to this morning, we know that You are working the glory of Your name and the honor of Christ and the salvation of souls. And we pray, Father, that indeed that work will be accomplished. We pray for this family in our neighborhood who's lost a father, a husband, whose lives have been so dramatically, unexpectedly impacted and changed forever. And Father, again, we know that life comes from Your hand. Every breath that we breathe extends to us from Your hand. That You are the one who gives life and who takes life. You are the one who rules sovereignly over all of these things, and your good purposes are being accomplished. And we pray, O God, that this turn of affairs in the lives of these people would be one turn in the road towards Christ. If they do not know Him as their Savior, that this would be the time and the place when You would open the eyes of their heart to see beyond time and space to eternity. That they would be struck with the uncertainty of life and the certainty of death and the reality of eternity. That You would open their ears to hear the glorious truth of Your love to them in Christ. That there is hope for eternity in Him. That they would come to faith. We pray for the memorial service next Saturday. That the word of Christ would sound forth clearly. That there would be occasion for those who are gathered there to have opportunity to hear of Christ. Father, we just pray that that as You will, You would work in their hearts and bring them to the comfort that is Christ. And if they know You, those around them who know You, that they would know the grace of God in the comfort that You provide in an hour such as this. We thank You for Your word. Father, it is the living word. It is the bread of life. It is the living water. It is that which feeds our souls. And I pray that You would feed our soul this morning. I pray that You would encourage us once again in the truth of what You have done for us in Christ, what You've called us to in Christ, that our eyes would be lifted to the heights of the glory of God as the aim towards which all things are moving, and that we would understand even more fully how it is that we take hold of that, how we pursue that in our own lives. I pray that You'd work by Your Spirit in our time together this morning. Glorify Yourself. Honor Your Son as we give attention to Your Word and as our lives are transformed. So work by Your grace, I pray. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to take your Bible once again and turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. We are going to continue the focus that we began last week, unpacking the pursuit of the purpose to which we've been called in Christ. We understand that where there is a purpose to fulfill, there is a pursuit to be followed. Right? Where there is a goal or an aim to achieve, there is an action to be taken. There are realities to be laid hold of. There are means by which the purpose is achieved. And we would use those means. We would seek to obtain and lay our hands on the means by which that purpose would be fulfilled. 2 weeks ago, we focused narrowly on Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, and understood from that passage that God's purpose in the church is to glorify Himself. That God's aim and intent, as it is in all the works of His hands, all that God is doing in creation, His purpose in the church is to show forth the glory of who He is and to bring honor to Himself. And so last week we began to work through the preceding verses, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, and to walk through the steps that lead to the purpose of God being accomplished in the church. These steps are given to us in the prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesian believers and by extension for all who are Christ's. And in each of these steps, we find ourselves moving towards the purpose of God being accomplished. And so just quickly to review what we looked at last time, the first step that he identifies in the stairway that leads towards the heights of the glory of God in the church is the empowering of the Spirit. Notice Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner being. Paul is praying out of everything that he's already discussed in the first three chapters, the earlier portion of the book. Discussed concerning the cosmic eternal purpose of God to redeem and reconcile a fallen creation to Himself. a purpose that he has realized, that he has accomplished through Christ, through the cross of Christ. And that work having been accomplished, he is now looking towards the unfolding of the accomplishing of the unfolding of that purpose in the life of the church in the passage that follows in chapters 4 and through 6. And as a seam between the discussion, the description of God's purpose in Christ and the implementation of that purpose in chapters 4 through 6, we find this prayer. And the first step that he enumerates, the first step towards realizing the purpose of God in our lives, is the empowering of the Spirit. Everything of Christ's likeness, everything of godliness that is formed in your life is by the empowering of the Spirit. It is by the working of the Spirit of God in your life. When you come to faith in Christ, when the eyes of your heart are opened and you are born again, in that moment, the Spirit of Christ indwells you. So that at that moment, the necessary dynamic for your transformation into Christ-likeness is placed within you. And it is through the working of the Spirit, it is through the empowering of the Spirit, through the activity of the Spirit of God in your life, that you are transformed, that you are renewed in the likeness of God's holiness and righteousness. And so if you would glorify God, you must be empowered by the Spirit. The second step that he identifies is the indwelling of Christ. In verse 17, he says, he prays that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And when he speaks of Christ indwelling in your heart, he's not talking about Christ coming to indwell you by His Spirit, as we often speak, because that's already taken place. He's talking about a transformation, a radical, essential change in the very heart of your person, at the very seat of your personality, towards Christ-likeness. We use the picture, the analogy of a flower. You remember, you take a white rose and you stick it in a vase of blue water. What happens to the rose? Slowly over time, as that water is drawn up through the stem and works its way out through the petals of the flower, that white rose begins to change color. And eventually, if you leave it there long enough and it lives long enough, that rose will turn completely blue. And that pictures for us that internal transformation that takes place through the working of the Spirit. If the Spirit is empowering, is at work in you, this transformation is going to go on. It's a transformation that we don't necessarily know or sense in any experiential way, but it's going on nonetheless. It's taking place as the Spirit of God works through the Word, through the knowledge of the truth. And so the first step is the empowering of the Spirit. And remember, that's like the plugging in of the lamp. The purpose of the lamp is to shine forth the light. But the first step to shining the light by the lamp is to be plugged into the power source, and that's the Holy Spirit. Then the indwelling of Christ. And this morning, thirdly, we come to the third step. This apprehending of the truth of Christ. The third step in pursuing our purpose is our apprehending the goodness of God, the love of Christ. When Christ indwells our hearts, when our inner man is transformed, when he is renewed after the likeness of Christ, When we are made new according to that which Christ has accomplished on the cross, we are rooted and grounded in love. When Christ is transforming us, is indwelling us, we are rooted and grounded in love. We are established in love. We are established in the love of Christ. We are established in the goodness of God. The effect of this establishing is an empowering to comprehend, an empowering to apprehend. Literally, the word translated here in the ESV, comprehend, is the word to lay hold on. The effect of Christ indwelling is this empowering. to lay hold on. To lay hold on the fully dimensional goodness of God. To lay hold on what is described here as the knowledge surpassing love of Christ. He says in verse 17b, well, let me read the whole verse. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. You see, when Christ indwells us, When our lives begin to be radically transformed, when the petals of our lives begin to take on the color of Christ, there is a collective empowering to apprehend, to comprehend, to lay hold on the love of Christ, the knowledge surpassing love of Christ, the fully dimensional goodness of God. He says, that you may know the breadth and length and height and depth. The goodness of God in all of its dimension. We come to understand God's great love toward us in Christ. We come to understand the redemption and the reconciliation that Christ has secured through His cross. And we do so as that reality is lived out among us in radically transformed lives. In a sense, this idea, this concept can be illustrated. You think about understanding the goodness of the Creator through observing the transformation of a caterpillar into a butterfly. We're all familiar with the process of metamorphosis. Maybe you did a sixth grade science fair project on metamorphosis, and you observed the process. The caterpillar that makes its way along through the atrium and to the branch and attaches itself to the branch, and then it begins to form the cocoon. And it makes this cocoon, and then you're watching, and over time there's a process that goes on. And after a few days, you notice that the cocoon begins to crack and begins to open up. And then out from inside the cocoon begins to emerge this beautiful butterfly. The wings of the butterfly begin to unfold until eventually it flies away. It's a marvelous process. And that process and its results are the effect of a power, of a dynamic that is at work there. And that power, that working, has a source. And the source is the goodness of the Creator. The Creator's goodness is grasped in a measure. In a measure, we understand the goodness of God by observing this radical transformation of a caterpillar into a butterfly. There's no comparison. Something is of the same is true of us. We are worms, as the Puritans used to say. By nature, we are sinners. Okay? We are unbelieving. We are disobedient. Ephesians chapter 2 describes us as the children of wrath. We are spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins. We're like that lowly worm. But through faith in Christ, by the grace of God, the favor of God, His goodness to us in Christ makes us alive. And the process of transformation begins. We are being transformed after the likeness of Christ. That process is going on inside us. But very quickly it begins to manifest itself in a changed life. In changed behavior, in a changed thought process, even in changed affections. We no longer love the things that we once loved. We love the things of Christ. We love the things that are honoring to God. And that transformation manifests itself in the things that we pursue, in the things to which we give our time. in our character, in our conduct, in our conversation. And through this changed behavior, it is the goodness of God, it is the love of Christ that we begin to comprehend, because that is the source of all of this change. The fruit that you bear in your life of Christ-likeness, the beauty that you demonstrate in your transformed life is simply the fruit. It is the outworking of the goodness of God to you. It is the outworking of the love of Christ to you. And that goodness is known, that goodness is understood, at least in a measure, through this demonstration of Christ-like lives. Now, it's important to notice here in the passage that he says that this understanding comes with all the saints. He says, verse 18, that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, or the breadth and length and height and depth. Now, what is this? What is this with all the saints? Well, essentially what he's saying is this, that because each life bears its own witness to the transforming work of the goodness of God and the love of Christ, it is in a corporate context, as each individual demonstrates the power of God, demonstrates the goodness of God in the transformation of their life, that the full orbed beauty of the goodness of God and the love of Christ is demonstrated. I mean, there is a sense in which all of our lives are the same, right? We're very similar. And yet, each one of us is unique in the makeup of our lives. Each one of us is unique in its expression, in the shape and the expression of sin in the life of a sinner, right? Some of us... maybe we are mild expressions of the shape of sin. You know, because of the goodness of God, we've been preserved from you know, gross manifestations of sin. And others, however, maybe not so much. Maybe they have sowed much wild oats and their lives witness to some of the deepest depths that sin can take us. This being the case, each one of us is a unique example of the goodness of God to a sinner. Each life bears its own testimony to the goodness of God to redeem, to reconcile, and to transform a dead sinner. So that the full dimensions of the goodness of God to sinners, the love of Christ to sinners, is apprehended as each one bears testimony and demonstrates transformation after the likeness of Christ. Again, you could illustrate it. You think of a diamond, right? Each facet of a diamond is essentially the same, and yet they differ in shape and in size, each one contributing its own reflection of the beauty of the whole diamond. And it is collectively, as each one shimmers in the light and reflects the beauty of the diamond, that the fullness of the beauty of the diamond is seen. And so it is with us. Each one lends its own reflection and shines forth in its own way, the beauty, the brilliance of the love of God, the love of Christ, the goodness of God. Now, there's an implication that arises from this, isn't there? The implication is simply this, that the believer's participation in the body of Christ, our active, significant involvement with the local assemblies of believers is essential to who and what we are. It is essential to our accomplishing the purpose that God has for us to glorify Himself. It is essential that we come together, that we identify with a local assembly, that we participate in that assembly in a significant way. That Christ be allowed to show forth through our lives and our own experience, our own testimony, bear witness to the goodness of God and lend itself to the full orb knowledge of God within that fellowship. So if we have a tendency to hold ourselves apart, maybe we take a lone ranger approach to the Christian life, we are, in a sense, failing to fulfill the responsibility that we have to identify with a local assembly, to contribute to the understanding of that group of the goodness of God and the love of Christ as we contribute our experience and our testimony of that goodness to that fellowship. And so achieving our purpose begins with the empowering of the Spirit. That empowering brings about the indwelling of Christ, that radical transformation at the very heart of who we are. This leads to the comprehending of the goodness of God to us in Christ, the love of Christ to us, as that transformation begins to manifest itself in a changed life. And as we bear witness to the power of God to change a sinner such as I. This brings us to the final step, the culminating step. Each step leading us to the heights of our being filled to the fullness of God. The final step in our pursuit is pursuing the filling with the fullness of God. He says in verse 19, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That you may be filled with the fullness of God. The top step of the stairway is our being filled with the fullness of God. And with what is God full? What is it with which God is full? He is full of glory. He is full of goodness. He is full of holiness and righteousness. Pursuing and attaining each of these successive steps brings us inevitably to this final step of being filled with the glory, with the goodness, the righteousness, the holiness of God. We begin to shine forth with the beauty of Christ. We are filled with the beauty of Christ. Now, being filled with the fullness of God does not mean that we contain in ourselves the full measure of God's fullness. We don't have the capacity for that. He is infinite and we are finite. What it means is that we, in the fullness of what we are filled to the full with what God is filled with. It's like a thimble filled with the ocean. It means that what fills us is that which fills Him. It means that we are fully given over to God's fullness. We are fully given over to goodness, to love, to truth, to righteousness. It means that we are holy, even as He is holy. It means that we are merciful, even as He is merciful. It means that we are perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. It means that Christ, who is the fullness of God, who is the perfection of the likeness of God, the bearer of the image of the glory of God, He is formed in us. Is there any greater height that we could attain? When you think of all the things that you could pursue in this world, is there any greater height that you could achieve than the height of being full of the fullness of God? I mean, think of it. Think of it. To be shining forth with the beauty of the fullness of God's glory. To show forth the wonder of who Christ is in your own life, in your own character, in your own conduct. What a purpose. What a height. What a glorious aim. Is that your aim? Is that your purpose? And all of the other purposes that you pursue on a daily basis, is your highest aim to be pleasing to God, to be filled with the fullness of God, to have such a purpose, to pursue such an end, is truly the highest end and purpose that can be pursued. Oh, that God would fill us with His Spirit. Oh, that God would grant to us that we would be a people wholly given over to this pursuit. Our purpose is to glorify God. It's the reason we exist. That's the reason why anyone exists. That's the reason anything exists. We are created for His glory. We are redeemed for His glory. Excuse me. We achieve our purpose by being empowered by the Spirit, by possessing the indwelling of Christ, of being transformed after His likeness, of apprehending the goodness of God, and by being filled with the fullness of God. Therefore, because this is how we fulfill our purpose, this is what we pursue. This is what we seek to lay hold of. Now, just briefly this morning, how do we pursue these things? How do we go about laying our hands on these things? Well, first of all, most basically, we must participate in these things. We must be born again. You may be here this morning. You came into this room and you are not yet born again. You are not one who has yet put their faith in Christ. If you would know the highest of all purposes, if you would participate in the glorious aim of showing forth the beauty of God, you must first of all be born again. You must first of all come to understand the reality that you are a sinner cut off from God and under His wrath, that you are rightly the object of His wrath because you fall short of His glory. You fail to honor Him supremely. Now, that doesn't mean that you are a particularly evil person. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. It just means that you do not acknowledge Him, you do not honor Him, you're cut off from Him. You are in reality in rebellion against Him. But God is a God of mercy. And in His love and in His mercy, He has provided a way for you to be redeemed and restored to relationship with Himself. And that way is the cross of Christ. It is the work of Christ. And as you come to see that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, as you come to see that He came into the world to show us the Father, He came into the world to bring salvation to mankind, and you confess faith in Christ, the promise of the Scriptures is that we are born again. And in that moment, you begin to participate in this purpose in a positive way. And so if you're here this morning and you do not know Christ, my admonition to you is consider Christ. Consider these realities. If you have any questions, anything that's not clear, you'd like to talk to someone, I'd be more than glad to talk with you or to direct you to someone who could talk to you. But if we are to take these steps, if we are to achieve this purpose, we must first of all be on the path. But if we are on the path by the mercy of God, if we have come to faith in Christ because of God's mercy to us, we pursue this, first of all, simply by making Paul's prayer our own. Paul prayed this prayer for the Ephesian believers, and by that he set an example for us. We pray this for ourselves, and we pray this for one another. In all the things for which we pray, we ought to pray that God would grant to us the empowering of His Spirit, that Christ might dwell in our hearts through faith, that we might be transformed after the likeness of Christ and begin to manifest that in every aspect of our being. That our affections would be transformed, that our motivations would be transformed, that our actions would be transformed. And that we would show forth the beauty of Christ. We pray that. We pray that for ourselves. We pray that for one another. We pray that for every blood-bought believer. Everyone who is truly a member of the body of Christ. We can participate. We can have input into the lives of all believers simply praying this prayer. We can also lay hold on these things by giving attention to the truth of Christ, cultivating and encouraging our understanding of God's goodness to us in Christ. It's the Spirit works through the Word to transform us. Are you in the Word? Are you in the Word on a daily basis? Are you reading the truth of Christ, being reminded of the truth of Christ? The Spirit of God will use that truth in this transformation process. So we can lay hold on these steps by being in the Word. We can encourage and be encouraged in this process by being in the Word. Thirdly, we can also pursue these things as we cultivate and encourage one another in spiritual things, as we fellowship with one another. That when we come together, that part of our conversation involves the things of the Spirit, the things of Christ. Yes, we talk about our week, we talk about our work, we talk about the game, but then we come to the things of Christ. And those are the things that are most precious to us. And we encourage one another. We admonish one another. That's how we pursue these things. Our highest and most... We have the highest and most glorious purpose that can be. We are called to the highest and most aim of showing forth the glory of God. Oh, that God would grant to us that we would be a people empowered by the Spirit of Christ daily, moment by moment, so that we will be continually in the process of being transformed, showing forth the beauty of God and bringing glory to Him. Let's pray. Our Father, again, we've been reminded of that high and holy calling that is ours, to show forth the beauty of Christ, to show forth the wonder and the truth of who You are. As empowered by the Spirit, we are radically transformed, beginning to manifest the likeness of Christ in our affections and our motivations, in our actions, all to Your honor and Your glory. Father, You know every heart that's here this morning. You know each one, even those who are not yet on the path. And Father, I would pray that in Your mercy You would open the eyes of their hearts, that they might see the reality of their own sin, that they would see the reality of an infinite, eternal Creator who has made all things for His glory, and recognize and honestly acknowledge that they do not live for His glory, and that as a result, they are under the cloud of Your wrath and are facing condemnation and judgment. Father, help them also to see the glory of Christ and the glory of the cross, that God in His mercy has provided redemption for all who believe. Oh God, bring them to faith. Bring them to the place of seeing Christ and laying hold on Christ. Bring them to life. And then, Father, for each one of us who by Your grace has been brought to faith in Christ, grant to us that we would be a people who are empowered by Your Spirit, day by day, moment by moment, situation by situation. Father, stir up within us a love to Your Word. Stir up within us a hunger for the truth. Stir up within us the recognition of the responsibility to be disciplined in understanding Your truth, that we would reflect on it, that we would meditate on it, and by that give opportunity for the Spirit to work that truth deep into the fibers and the fabric of our lives. And through that, to see that transformation process go on. To see our affections change. To see our motivations change. To see our conduct and our character and our conversation changed to be like Christ. And then, in the fellowship of the saints, in the assembly, to grasp something of the full dimension of Your goodness, of the knowledge surpassing love of Christ, as we hear of the power of and the goodness of God to transform a sinner such as I. Show forth Your glory in Your people, I pray, for the honor of Your name, for the honor of Christ, for our joy, and for the salvation of the lost. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.